Leia Colombo, photographer, director, sculptor, designer, and now guest on the Creative Blood Experience. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad I could finally make it.
Well done. Where are you? Where are we talking to you?
I'm in LA at the moment. I just arrived and I'm here for the next few days, which is quite nice.
I'm a massive fan of Los Angeles. Whereabouts are you? Because I know you're either east side or west side.
So I'm in a really beautiful house in Silver Lake, and there might be a bit of noise in the background. There might be a dog. It's just life happening as we know it. But I'm staring out onto a beautiful view. I can see the Hollywood sign. I'm good.
You're in a good spot.
Yes.
Cool. Well, look, allow me to tell you how this works. In my hand, I have a deck of 50 cards, and each card contains one question, just one question, designed to reveal how you have navigated your creative experience so far, and in turn, share insights that our listeners can take into their own creative lives.
Cool. Did you write them?
Yes. Believe it or not, yes, it took 3 months to bring all these together.
Amazing.
Ironically, if only we'd gone, I'm not joking, to ChatGPT, it would have taken about 10 minutes.
But you know what? You did it the authentic way. You did it the real way. So I think that holds more energy and power now with having your own questions in there. I don't know, technology and AI, it's like you kind of skip those moments, or you can.
Well, lucky for us-ish, we didn't, I think. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to select 10 of these cards. Neither of us will know what they are until I turn them over. But first, I need to shuffle the deck. And whilst I do this, I'm going to take the opportunity to paint a picture of you and your work for our listeners.
Do it.
Leia, you are no doubt one of the most distinctive and prolific image makers working in the industry right now. An accolade endorsed earlier this year when you yourself were featured on the cover of Dazed for Dazed 100, celebrating the rising roster of photographic talent lending their lens to the world, shot by the maestro himself, Paolo Reversi. I do have to ask you, what was that like?
It was an amazing experience. He's so lovely. He's so open and charismatic. And, you know, he's 75. A cover like that is quite prolific in a way. And definitely a moment in time. And like, when are we all ever all together in one building, in one room, in one space? And then being photographed by, you know, like a master like Paolo that we've all looked up to, that we've all referenced. However we've started, we know of this person.
Awesome. Amazing.
Yes.
Well, despite working with a range of mediums such as print, photography, painting and sculpture, your work is instantly recognisable. Often brightly coloured and highly saturated, it examines the relationship between colour and desaturation, light and emotion, and is always unafraid to push the boundaries of technique, meaning and style. But for me and so many others, it's not just what you do, it's more how you do it. And as a self-taught artist, you are constantly resisting definition, rejecting traditional paths, and instead spotting the gaps and niches to make them truly your own. Born and raised in Cape Town, at the tender age of 19, you made a decision to sack off a formal art education and instead bought a one-way ticket to Paris, armed with little more than a great eye, buckets of chutzpah, and a camera. Upon your arrival, you spotted a gap in the backstage fashion photography scene and quickly made the challenging conditions there, we should mention bad light, no time and no team, your very own art school of hard knocks. And the tenacity paid off. Your spontaneous and intuitive pictures swiftly caught the eye of Dazed and Confused, who made you one of their go-to photographers, sending you off to fashion weeks around the world. Those very qualities, still the hallmark of your work today, demanded both attention and respect from the luxury fashion brands themselves, who quickly invited you to shoot and direct on their behalf. Now, your portfolio of clients over the first decade of your career is staggering, including the likes of Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Versace, Calvin Klein and Marni, as well as publications such as ID and Self Service. Meanwhile, your fine art career has also gathered both pace and serious clout. And in 2021, you presented your first independently produced solo show titled Colours of My Body, where you turned the lens on yourself and used your own body as a canvas to explore human physicality in the most intimate, arresting way. Now, after a decade of building your career in Europe, you've returned to your roots in Cape Town and founded Casa Colombo, which is the name of the creative studio formed by you and your twin brother, Roberto. It's also from this new base that you've designed multiple capsule clothing collections inspired by your fine art for the likes of COS, the Webster and Palm Angels collab, and Aritzia. Leia, there's so much to get into. I can't wait to see where the cards take our conversation today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's just trust that the cards are going to guide us in the right way.
They're going to guide us. There is no doubt about that. I wanted to ask you very quickly before you pick the cards. You've said that your first solo exhibition and the book made you feel free. And I wanted to ask you what you meant by that.
What was so freeing about that process is just me kind of tuning into the energy of creation and kind of letting that creativity flow. And that's kind of how this whole body of work also came about. You know, going through that, sitting through it kind of every day, just, you know, exploring new ideas, exploring new mediums, exploring anything that kind of was coming up in that moment and not judging it, not letting it guide me somewhere, just like really just allowing it to be and take me wherever. And that body of work kind of, you know, became just bigger and bigger and bigger. And I also just evolved in a sense of, you know, using different materials and textures and tones and, you know, the whole, yeah, I mean, I think it's still something now that's, it's kind of developed a new part of me or within myself that I'm just very free in the way that I work and create. And, you know, I don't like to put any boundaries on myself. And if anything, I also create from a place of pure intuition and guidance in that sense.
And just out of interest, were you showing anybody in real time? Like, you're very trusting of your process and sort of as an artist, one has to be. But for something like this, because it was so personal, the piece of work is so personal to you and it's about you, were you sharing it in real time, or were you waiting until there were sort of moments where you feel like you had something, like a, pardon the pun, but like a body of work?
I'm not very precious with my things. So I'm like quite a sharer in ways, you know, the way I work is so fast and just like in the moment. So I do share stuff and like it doesn't, you know, I don't overthink things. I don't think about it. I just kind of just do. So you know what the message is there, and that's always something I've always done. I've always trusted in myself and I've always trusted in the process. And I think that's a key point. And I think that's something that, you know, not anyone in school is going to teach you. I knew instantly, like if I had to go sit in another classroom and be told what to do, that would have been the end of me. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to kind of pave my way, fake it till you make it, do my thing and just kind of try, you know, create my own visual language and not work off any references, work off what is like kind of coming within me and what I was kind of seeing or feeling or wanting to kind of, you know, put out there. And yeah, so that's kind of been my biggest teacher in life is just that there's still a constant journey and the constant evolution of self through my work and through just, you know, life.
I feel like you just answered about 49 of the 50 cards.
I know. I'm intuitively reading. I'm reading the cards already. They're speaking to me, Laura. So that's why.
Before you pick, I should let you know that in the deck, there's a dealer's choice, which means I get to ask you a question specific to you. There's two wild cards. They are a bit bolder, let's say, but nothing that you can't handle. How do you want to do this? You seem very card-centric to me. I feel like you've got a system.
Okay. So, okay. Quickly shuffle through the cards. Go, damn you shuffle. Just quickly go through the deck again. I'm going to put my energy in there.
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
Go, pick 10. Actually, what about 11 cards? That's a good number. 11 is good.
God, you're defying all the rules of the game. We normally do 10, but you know what? For this one, you just asked for it. I'm chucking in at the discretion of the dealer, a dealer's choice. Thank you for that. What a gift. It's very generous of you. Okay. The energy is coming in thick and fast from Los Angeles. My hands are shaking. The cards are moving in front of me. I have 10. You ready?
Yes.
How do you decide what to say yes and no to in relation to a project?
Oh, that's an easy one. I mean, listen, actually, backtrack, but that's taking me some time to kind of also to learn and to trust, again, trusting in the process. Just my intuition, kind of like, does it feel right? Does it make sense? You know, am I doubting it? Doubt for me means instantly it's a no. And you know, so I've obviously learned the hard way for sure with like something when I should have actually said no and I said yes. And then I'm in the process and I'm like, oh my God, fuck. Okay, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be in a way. And maybe I had already then created that energy also subconsciously and adding to it. But now I'm quite good with just trusting myself and saying yes or no and then moving on.
So trusting the process. An example for you, you don't necessarily have to be specific about the project, but can you think of one project? Is there anything that literally comes to mind? Go on, you're smiling.
Yes, but I don't know.
Don't name the client. No, don't name the client. Don't name anyone. We're not incriminating anyone. Just out of interest, what were the circumstances? Because I know that whatever yours were, it will resonate with the listener.
It was basically working with someone that already I kind of knew was going to be a bit tricky and come with a bit of a team and a presence. And I think the main thing is like just myself and the person not being aligned or like just not being on the same kind of vibrational level in a bigger scheme of things. And that obviously just brought a lot of disconnect and a lot of challenges throughout the day. And I am a very sensitive person and I definitely took on a lot of that energy. So after that shoot, I was like, woman down. I got a bit sick for a week, was just so drained from that experience. So yeah, I think that was like a bit of a turning point for me last year when that happened. Now it really has to feel right or really have to be kind of in alignment also with me as a person and kind of just having a similar vision on life. And, you know, if I can
values.
Kind of explain that values in like a broader scheme of things without giving too much context.
Of course. And just out of interest, why did you say yes?
I actually said no the first time. And then they came back and they were like, oh, but they really want you on it and they want you to do it. And, you know, and they were like, oh, we found more budget. So I still just didn't trust myself.
It's funny that, isn't it, when they find more budget?
Yeah, yeah. But lesson learned. I've definitely grown from that one. And yeah, next time I just trust.
Okay, question number two. What's the biggest creative challenge you've faced in your career to date?
Gosh, I actually don't know. I'm trying to think now. Like, I've had a lot of creative challenges over the years, but that's built me up in a sense. Like, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Nothing is really coming there.
And this is why, my friend, you picked the 11th card. Because if you're not feeling it, we're moving on.
Let's move on. Let's go.
Okay, let's be spontaneous. Right. What's the craziest thing you've ever done to meet a deadline?
That kind of takes me back to like backstage days when I was, oh my God, like living on maybe 2 hours of sleep. You know, I was running around to like 10 shows a day and having to deliver by the next morning or that night. So it was like, I was just always on the go. And then of course, you know, I mean, I was in my early 20s. There was like parties, there were things happening. So it was kind of like, okay, I'm just going to do it all. And there were moments where, yeah, I mean, gosh, the things I did then, you know, on very little sleep. Yeah, but I did it. And then, hey, here I am.
What do you think about just having that lifestyle? It's not about the age. It's more there's a hunger and there's a resilience to be able to just push through.
I think then it was more like doing it and also having fun with it. But like now, if I had to kind of put myself in that place, it's a big no on my end. And also with like, you know, what's interesting with like these deadlines and things. And I had this the other day, you know, I did this job. We shot on the Friday and then I had the weekend in Berlin. And basically they were like, oh, we need everything tomorrow. We need the low res and this and that. And I was like, I'm sure everyone can wait till Monday. And putting that out there. And next thing I know, like deliver on Monday. And then it's like, I don't hear from them for 2 weeks. And I was like, I don't understand. There was this crazy rush, you know? So sometimes I've also learned to just put my foot down and say, guys, like, it's not the end of the world. You know, they're just images. Everyone will survive, you know? So
Are you happy having those conversations? Because that would have, you would have been on a journey with those conversations.
For sure.
You know, that would have been something that's built over time, that confidence to put your foot down.
Definitely. Because, you know, the beginning phases, you want to like say yes to it all and you haven't had that experience of learning to say no. I do think I have been quite good with like saying no and seeing when it feels right and or versus wrong. But obviously I've, you know, learned the hard way too and definitely not done that. But yeah, you have to set some boundaries, you know. Otherwise, it's like you just don't stop, you know, and you're going to look back and be like, okay, that was a good moment that I'd started putting this off switch on because it's consuming, you know.
Okay, right. Got another one for you. Let me know what you think. What's your secret to staying creatively resilient?
I think that goes back to a little point earlier is just being in a space where I also feel like I have space to kind of be creative and tune into kind of the landscapes and that. And I think that's something that Cape Town for me has really ticked a lot of boxes for, and having gone back to my roots, gone back to that kind of energy and that lay of the land, which I love. I look onto the mountain, I go for a swim in the morning, you know, I go to the office after. Those kind of things really let me be and kind of channel my inner creativity, you know. And now having traveled again to all these different cities, like I was in Berlin, in Barcelona, in London, in Paris. And you know what? I've had such a nice affirmation during this trip that I'm like, I'm so happy with where I am again now and where I've been settling, and that being Cape Town. And those cities for me don't give me that, you know, that creativity how I have it back home.
Is that because of the space and it's not naturally that sort of fast-paced environment?
Yeah, having this, but also just being surrounded by nature and by the ocean, by mountains, and that energy to me is just, I've always loved it. And I mean, there's a lot of earth elements in my work too. So it's just having that like lets me really think out of the box. And I don't know, I just feel like I go a lot of places. And when I'm in these fast-paced cities and that are denser and they're dirty and I don't know, it just doesn't resonate per se.
Here's a scenario for you, okay?
Okay.
The concept isn't bad, it's worse. It's boring, but the money is insane. Do you say yes?
Yes. I mean, yes, because it's like as an artist, these are projects that one can do with your eyes closed kind of thing. And, you know, doing that work also allows you to have more freedom in like your other realms and works as an artist. So, yes.
I love it. That is the most succinct answer we've ever had to that question.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so here's the wild card. What's the biggest creative challenge that you're facing right now?
Right now?
Yes.
I think producing too much work and having so much work that I don't know now what to do with and where to put it. And then, you know, kind of, and then I'm already thinking of another thing and another project. And yeah, I think that and managing that all, and especially, I think also editing my work in a way, because, you know, I'm so involved in it. I'm so with it. And it's always interesting for me to see how other people view it and obviously what their, you know, take on it is. But I think for me, it's hard to like often edit my own work down in a way. But I mean, I'm working on that.
Editing your own work is so personal, right? And equally to pass that over to somebody, you're so attached to it. So like, for example, you know, the headspace you were in, the phone call you made, the effort that it took to actually achieve it, you don't have the distance necessarily to be able to be as objective potentially as may be needed. Is there somebody for you that you trust no matter what to take a view?
My twin brother, Roberto, yes. I think he's been my best bounce back with a lot of work. I mean, we both kind of bounce back everything and share stuff and him.
Amazing. Cool. Right. We're cracking on. What's the one piece of advice that you have for someone who may be struggling to get their career off the ground as a photographer?
My main advice would be to to really kind of find your own way and your own language and your own thought and your own kind of channel that creativity and your ideas. And that's been like a really amazing journey for me, not having obviously studied or, you know, gone to school in that sense or done it via someone else or referencing other people's work. Fake it till you make it, honestly, and just keep at it, keep going, keep having that drive and like determination and just trusting that it's all going to align how it's meant to align. And also, I think a big note that I also for sure have struggled with over the years, you know, it's like, you know, we're always like comparing ourselves to other people. And there's also now with Instagram and all these things, you're always seeing what everyone else is doing and this and that. And, you know, we have these moments where it's like, oh, why have I not done that yet? Why have I not achieved that? But then you have to really like stop yourself and remind yourself that we all are here and have our own journey and it's going to take time or be sped up in other ways. But there's other lessons that, you know, we're all here to learn. And I think just really trusting that and not allowing all the other noise to cloud you.
Makes sense. The noise, turn down the volume on the noise.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that lower mind of ours is always going. It's always going to try throw you off. And that's when you just know, okay, I got to find that balance. I got to like find that peace within again and just trust.
This brings me on nicely to the dealer's choice. How do you find the balance between your personal projects and taking on commercial work?
You kind of just like find that flow and see, you know, what resonates and what makes sense versus what needs more attention. Where do I also want to put my energy to, I think? And I think that's been something important where for many years I had always prioritized commercial work and being back to back and working and shooting and traveling and this. So that like 2 years ago, I just had this calling and I was like, I need to go back to Cape Town. I need to go, you know, focus on the artist, on Leah's ethos and like, what do I want to say? Where do I want to also kind of, you know, position myself in the world and what do I want to kind of bring out and share? So I think it's just, you know, having allowed myself that time and space, because when I did that, I turned down so much commercial jobs, like so much work was coming in that I just had to also just say, you know what, I'm staying put, I'm not going to do this. And just again, trusting, you know, it would all work out. And then, you know, the ironic thing is like the more and more personal work you do, clients are all like, oh my God, we love this. And then they want that. And so it's just, you know, for me, now commercial work, I love it and it's great, but it's also, it's taking a bit of a, I wouldn't say back end, but I'm also now exploring other, you know, mediums. And for me, what's interesting with like commercial work per se is that I'm doing more 360 projects, which are exciting, you know, so it's like not just like walking on set, taking a photo, but it's actually now conceptualizing a design, working with design, working with product, then kind of photographing, working with it, and then also curating, you know, spaces and the experiences and like kind of really putting my artistic ethos of, you know, color, light, shape, vibration, form onto my, you know, commercial work or clients, you know. And that's something now that has really been exciting and having, you know, evolving in that way.
I'm so curious and genuinely fascinated about how you've done that, you know, and for you, yeah, you're probably sitting there going, well, fuck, I mean, yeah, that's just part, you know, I'm a 360 artist, this is how, yeah, but there will be a moment where,
yeah,
that became possible or was even part of a conversation. And I'm so like, what was that?
Well, I think in general, the way I go about my work and myself is like also infinite possibilities. You can attain anything. You can do it all. And I think that's the thing where we're so conditioned about like being in a box. I can only go from A to B and I can only do that. And it's like the moment you open yourself up and you see the possibilities out there and that there are no rules, there are no boundaries. And when you really are in that energy, in that space, that's when all these things happen and come and you can like do it all, dream it all. And I think if I had to do the same thing over and over, copy paste, or just stay in that world, it's just, I don't know, I wouldn't evolve.
Listen, Leah, you are preaching to the fucking converted. Believe me, I'm with you all the way. Yeah. However, having said that, when you have vision and when you don't believe in boundaries, there will always be other people in the room that need to get onto your program and support you and lead the charge with you. So you're the visionary, but then there will have been other people in the room for all the right reasons that you would have invited into your room that said, this is possible. You're obviously making sure that you're surrounding yourself with the people who see what you see as possible. Because often in an industry, it likes to keep you in a box. And we know that it doesn't need to be a box.
Yeah, what I can elaborate on that is, like, you know, I've been as a photographer, okay, now let's say, or director, or if you want to kind of pinpoint me in the fashion world, I've had my fair share of experiences with agencies. You know, it's like a dating period. Like, and I've never stayed with someone longer than a year, and I've had a lot of breakups, right? And I think that's also was something for me where I've always known myself quite well, and I'm quite strong-willed in ways. And, you know, so finding the right people to align with who actually understand your bigger vision and your bigger dreams and your bigger picture, for me, has until now still been a real, I think now maybe that answers one of your previous questions, but like my creative challenge or my challenge per se, because, you know, they've always kind of wanted to put me back in boxes or like restrain and like, or just not understand me as an artist, you know? And now I found out my kind of team and that are like, I'm doing things independently and I'm doing it my way, you know, and as opposed to being in like a structure, because I think I don't do well with structure. I never have and I never will. I know that. So I've created my own structure and my own ethos and bringing in the right people now who really I can bounce back ideas with on a bigger scale that really get me and who aren't afraid to think and see big. And if I say, hey, tomorrow I want to build this, I want to design this, it's like, cool, you know what? Great. Let me brainstorm on that. Like, how can we do that? Who can be the right person to bring in? Who is the right partner? You know, so that has definitely taken a while to get there, but also because now I'm in a very different place as an artist and I know myself, you know, so yeah.
Thank you. It's people, it's vision and people, it's humanity and ideas, and it's nothing more and nothing less than that. And then that's the rocket fuel. But unless you know that that's possible and you've just got to sort of, you know, push your way through, most people never get to that. And that's why they stay in those horrendous boxes of, you know, just staying in a lane.
Of course. You know, we all have this fear of the unknown. So like, if I go left, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, but if I go right, my same route, I know what's kind of going to, I can expect. Yeah. So I think that's an interesting thing where it's like, you got to just like push through those boundaries and just like create new things and new things will come. New people will walk onto your path. The right people will come your way. The right experiences will come your way. But it's also aligning with that energy and, you know, and not being afraid of it.
Now, this is going to sound like a very sort of lightweight question in comparison to what you've just shared. But this was one of the cards that you picked. So I feel like I must ask it. What's the most ridiculous request that you've ever received from a client and how did you respond?
Oh my God. Gosh, the most ridiculous request I've ever received from a client. Nothing's coming up right now. I don't know.
We're passing it on. We are intuitive all the way here.
Pick another card.
I've got another one. What role does collaboration play in your creative process?
It's like two parties coming together and finding a nice balance and harmony and seeing what one can kind of create together that like, I'm learning something out of this, you're learning something out of it, and not just like me putting a name or putting names together, I think, you know? And I think that's what's exciting for me is like working with bigger brands who have all the kind of means of achieving things and me coming in and saying, hold on a minute, but you haven't done this. Why don't we try something new and push you and do it this way, you know? And I don't want to just put a name on a product and put it out in the universe. It's like, how can we shift, you know, ways of working or bring in or like consciousness in that sense or making people more conscious about ways of working that to me has been something that I'm more mindful of and have learned now throughout also this whole kind of collaboration process, which has been really great.
Can I ask you, just to sort of a part B to that, how about collaboration with your brother, Roberto?
Well, you should ask him how that is, because I think there are moments he definitely wants to, I don't know. But there's a lot of love involved and there's a lot of creativity and a lot of fun. And of course, it can be challenging working with your sibling and especially a twin brother, you know. But the beautiful thing about that is we're so in tune. We just like know what we're each other are thinking. So we're on set and like, you know, it's like kind of goes left unsaid, because also he knows me the best and understands me the best and vice versa. So it's, for us, it was kind of just, it was a no-brainer. I don't know. It just all happened. But he also came in a bit later because he actually studied civil engineering. So he started directing and shooting a bit later, and I kind of started bringing him in on my projects. And that's how we started building up our portfolio of work. And I mean, he's amazing. And I hope that, you know, I push him in ways too, because I'm like, think that way. Don't do it by, you know, like just my favorite also thing to say also on set or like with my assistants or anything, it's like, just fuck it up. Like, no, like, because everyone is also, it's so need to see everything so perfectly and so like, oh, the exposure and that. And I'm like, no, think outside of the box, like push yourself, do it the other way. And, you know, and I think that's also something that him and I, we have that rapport quite well and are always wanting to challenge ourselves too.
Amazing. I like it. Just fuck it up. Okay, right. Your last question.
Yeah.
Do you have any rituals or superstitions associated with your work or creative practice? Like, do you need a certain coffee before you can even sort of get in the zone? Or I don't know. Or do you?
No, I mean, I think what I've learned, for instance, is that, like, and this will maybe answer your question in a different way, but you know, when people ask you, oh, what camera do you shoot on? What do you shoot on? No, no, no. And it's like, it's not about that. It's not about, you know, it's about just doing, like, you can attain anything with whatever. Give me a shitty camera and I'll still do something with it. And I think pushing myself and seeing in different ways and different possibilities. And, you know, and I think that, like with the backstage, when I had those moments where it was like, I was in a setting of, I had 5 minutes. I knew I needed to get the shot. I needed to get some stuff. And that really built me up of like just seeing things in different ways and finding beauty in these little pockets where other people were like, oh my God, the lighting is shit. This is shit. And complaining. And for me, it was just the best challenge. It was so exciting. So with coming back to your question, I mean, I don't know. I think every given moment is different. So of course I'd like to have a little nice coffee before I start and that. But I mean, does every moment present itself like that? No. When you're in India and 40 degrees in the middle of nowhere, are you going to have a nice cortado or whatever? No, you're not. So it's like, you got to just roll with it and work with your surroundings and that. But I think what I would try do is just ground my energy and get myself in a place so that wherever I am, in whatever setting or scenario, that I'm kind of ready to go.
So what is that for you? Like meditation or just a moment before you walk on set? Or just, I know you're a lot freer than that. I get it. I get that 1,000,000%. Yeah. But is there anything that you know for you sets you up for what's to come?
I used to have a better like practice of, you know, having my morning meditations and stuff, but then kind of, I don't know, life happens. You go through like phases. But you know what? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
There we go. We always get there in the end.
Wearing color. wearing color for me is like me kind of shining out in that way and having fun with that. I think that's always a bit of a nice, fun ritual in the morning. But like to start my day saying, okay, what am I gravitating towards? What am I wearing? What it like? And yeah, that's probably.
You got a killer vest on today. Can you describe it?
It's this red little Prada vest with like black kind of triangles going down, I guess. I don't know. That's how I'd describe it.
Amazing.
But you haven't seen the rest. I'm like, I'm in red and orange today.
Stand up then. Hey, confirming. Yes. she's got it all going on. We've got the socks, the shorts, we've got the ankle socks, a pair of Adidas. Bang on.
Thanks.
Awesome. All right, well, look, I feel like I've asked you about 74 questions.
Oh, and we're ending on 11:11 on my time. Perfect. Look at that. See?
That's how it's meant to be.
There was a reason for the 11th card, and now we end on 11:11. Perfect.
Absolutely. Before you continue your sunny day in LA, do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So I think what I'll leave everyone with, and like kind of my message to everyone, is also, you know, we all have a journey with ourselves or with yourself. And I think what's important is that, you know, we're all able to kind of find a deeper quest within ourselves. And we are all capable of attaining everything. And I think that's something that's really exciting to explore within yourself, to just go down that route, see what comes up and see where life and everything takes you. Even if you, you know, have preconceived thoughts, put those away. Just be in allowance and trust. And, you know, the rest, it will all come.
You know, everyone's got a different journey. And I'm so thrilled that you've genuinely shared yours. Thank you so much.
Thank you for allowing it all and finding the right moment. And I'm very excited to be on it. Thank you.
It's been great to have you. Thank you. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you don't miss a single drop of the Creative Blood Experience by subscribing and following the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And share it with a fellow creative. Let's get these conversations out there and into the ears of those who need to hear them. This show was created in partnership with the brilliant humans here at Creative Blood and Scenery Studios. Thanks for listening.